And welcome to the show. I'm Mike Indest, your host. And today we have our first repeat guest, Bob Kuehn. Bob, I hope I pronounced your name correctly this time.
Yes, you did. Yes.
So, I enjoyed a little bit our conversation last time, but I got to tell you, while we were talking, I felt some things in my spirit that I probably should have shared with you then. And I feel bad about that. So since we initially had that conversation in a public forum, I thought it would be best to maybe share these things with you in a public forum. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. I have no problems with that. I have nothing to hide, nothing, you know. I have no problems with that. Sure. Go ahead.
All right.
So what are your concerns, brother?
Well, I tell you, the first scripture that just like really came to mind that I really wanted to say and I didn't was 1 Timothy 3:7. Always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And while you were talking and sharing this testimony away from solid biblical Christianity to some of the, I guess, more liberal leanings that you have, that scripture really came to mind. 1 Timothy 3:7. I don't know if you've seen that before, but that really, you know, my spirit was really feeling that. So I wanted to share that one with you. And then this other one that came to mind was Psalm 10, verses 3 through 4. Psalms is in the Old Testament. I don't know if you read much of the Old Testament there, but it says, the wicked do not care about the Lord. It's in their pride. They think their God doesn't matter. And you said last time, you know, you're saying, quote unquote, God matters, but I just saw a very different God that you were kind of... I don't want to say learning about, but maybe creating in your own image than the God specifically of the Old Testament. So God, you know, is seems to me vastly different. Like you've created maybe your own God. And that brings me to the last one. Well, there's plenty more, but I'm just going to give you three, that you can really think about, you know, but Revelation 2:4, and I'm sure you've got some view on the book of Revelation, but this is what, you know, the scripture here. It says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned your first love. Therefore, keep in mind how far you've fallen. Repent and perform the deeds you did at first. But if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove the lampstand from its place. So I'm only saying this out of brotherly love. And it reminds me of, you know, this old hymn a little bit. So I'm going to sing a bit of that. And maybe while I'm doing that, you can think about, you know, those scriptures a little bit. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Bob, you gotta cling to the old rugged cross. And Bob, one day you'll exchange it someday for a crown.
Well, brother, I just want to say I really appreciate you sharing these things with me, because especially when you started singing that song, it just really, really convicted me that, you know, you're probably right. You know, everything that you're saying is probably right. Now all those things, 1 Timothy and that kind of stuff, it's all from the Bible, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And I think I have read that a little bit somewhere. But the thing is that can I just share with you what I think started my backsliding? What happened? I think it began years ago when I stopped reading the King James Version mm-hmm. with red letters and started reading an NIV, New International Version of the Bible, without red letters. And when you read those Bibles without red letters, especially when it's not the King James, you tend to miss what Jesus was saying, because Jesus spoke in red letters, I guess. I mean, that's what the Bible says. And so I kind of missed that. So I started seeing myself backsliding. And I started noticing things happening to me, like I was reading books that are not really good spiritual books, you know, books that are like books about philosophy and science. And oh, man, you know, when I started realizing that science, you know, I mean, the Bible doesn't say anything about gravity, yet we all believe it. You know what I'm saying? And if you know it, if you know the truth, gravity is just a theory. If you ever notice people say that, it's the theory of gravity. And I started believing it. You know, I started believing all the scientific stuff. And then one morning I got up and I could just feel God's anger burning against me. Because, you know, I did things that were just, you know, so unchristian. You know, I didn't even vote for President Trump. I just, you know, and it was just, you know, it really convicted me. I got rid of my membership to the NRA and a lot of things that are just not basic. I stopped going to Sunday school, you know, and even though they were teaching things that I didn't understand, like why it was important to go to Sunday school. You know, that was their main teaching. And I just, you know, so brother, I got to tell you, I really appreciate you coming with these truths that help convict me. And my main question is, now that I've humbled myself and told you that I was convicted by all the stuff you said and all that kind of stuff, I can still be considered a Christian by you and come on your podcast, right? And go to your church and stuff.
I can't judge your heart, brother. I can't judge your heart. I'm just using brother because I'm just so used to using that word. I shouldn't even call you that.
Well,
there's a lot of unraveling here.
I know you can't judge my heart, but let me tell you something about my heart. There's nothing there, pal. There is nothing there at all. Okay. And I say that with all honesty and sincerity, you know.
There's nothing there at all?
Nothing. I mean, just nothing. You know, I know you're saying I got all this wickedness in my heart, but it's not there. It's not there, you know. And that, you know, I need to transform my mind, you know. And when I think about my mind, there's nothing there either, man. So, you know, I just want you to really be able to take me back in a fold. And like most people who have been accused of backsliding and going away from the fold, you know, it's just, you know, they'll, you know, I'm basically just saying whatever needs to be said to get back in to the good graces and to be able to start going to church again and, you know, being
eligible. You nailed it, brother. You said there was nothing in your mind. So welcome back.
Yeah. All right. We're back, right, where we belong.
Thanks for playing along. Happy April Fool's Day, everybody. Happy Easter. And Bob, thanks for being a good sport. And we could probably just do entire podcasts just doing that, huh?
telling you, that was as unbelievable. But when you had mentioned to me a few weeks ago that you just wanted to talk and do something about spiritual manipulation, something called spiritual manipulation, I was just like, wow, that covers a whole lot of stuff, you know. So I'm glad we started off with a little satire there.
Well, I was kind of laughing while I was writing it, but I was also really mad because people have used those scriptures against, it didn't take me long to find those. How about you? Have you had them used against you besides in our little ordeal?
Yeah,
or have you used them?
I've had people come against me with all kinds of stuff. And the main thing is what we have talked about as far as spiritual manipulation. I don't really know if there's any such thing as literally, I'm talking literally, of spiritual manipulation, of someone being able to manipulate your spirit. But they sure can manipulate your mind through psychological manipulation. They can, you know, use positional authority or a position that they believe that they're in that is superior to the position you're in order to, you know, tell you where you're wrong or where you're right. And then there's the one that, okay, I don't have the position. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an elder. I don't hold any, you know, title or church, but I'll call myself a prophet. And I will tell you, I have a, you know, I've heard from God. God told me to tell you this. And these are things that people do, I think, to manipulate others into a place where they actually have some control over them. And we look at the extremes, like, for example, the extremes of cults, like the David Koresh cult or something like that, where there's just total control over the individuals by a person who has claimed superiority over them, spiritual superiority. But that's just the extremes. These type of things go on a much lower level continuously in churches and in groups and in prayer groups. And it's just, it's sad. It really is sad because it goes totally against what Jesus had told us we're supposed to be all about. Considering others more important than ourselves, lowering ourselves, making ourselves to nothing so that we can become the servants of others. And as far as being in submission, Jesus talks quite a bit about being in submission one to another. Well, Paul talks about that, being in submission one to another. And so, you know, these are the type of things that I think have gotten away from a lot of people, and it's just human nature. It's just, you've got two people in a room and one person wants to declare themselves, you know, superior to the other. It's sad because it's not what Jesus wanted. I don't believe at all.
So, I agree with you 1,000%. And I think why I got angry, looking up these scriptures or even trying to talk about it, is usually when this kind of stuff happens, at least for me, it happened when I was young, right? And so here's somebody, boy, firing off, you know, the three scriptures there. Maybe they're throwing in some Greek or whatever. But I can tell you some horror stories about what you mentioned before, the prophecy thing. And you don't know what to do about that. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced it as well. And what bothers me so much is that I experienced it very young, you know, and Jesus does talk about, coming as little children and how you're supposed to treat little children. And not that I was five or anything, but when you're a teenager and you really are not that articulate and somebody comes to you with the word of God and, you know, a solid, what they think is some sort of solid body of evidence for what you should be doing, and you don't necessarily know how to navigate that, it is manipulative. And I know people that were told they were supposed to marry people, or someone told me they were supposed to marry me, all because of this prophetic voice and maybe a scripture or two here and there. And as a kid, as a teenager, as a young 20-something, even as a new Christian who's older, people don't know how to necessarily navigate that. So there's a million ways we can go in this. Do you want to talk about more about how people do spiritually manipulate? Do you want to talk about what defenses that maybe we've... go ahead.
I've seen, you know, as far as from the pulpit and from up front, I have seen spiritual manipulation in ways that you can tell that there's a hidden agenda. You can tell that there is something that the person is trying to get to, but that they are using scripture, they're using, their own position and saying they heard from the Lord or they had a dream from God in order to gain something, whether it's more church members, more people there, whether it's to get more money from those people. That happens quite a bit, where you'll hear of people, you know, talking about money and about giving and about planting a seed and about harvesting that seed and what's going to come from that. And some of that has some truth to it. I'm not denying the scriptures that say that, you know, you can't outgive God, that if you give sincerely and you give out of your heart, then God will honor that and he will bless you in return. I don't deny that. What I see, though, is I don't see what Jesus said of not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I wonder how much church giving would really decrease if it was mandatory that you could only give it anonymously, you know, that no one could know what you were giving. You could only give anonymously, and that and that the rest of the world wouldn't even know you're giving anything. How much would that affect church giving, you know? Things like, I remember I was convicted one time, things like preaching. You know, if I were to record a sermon and it would never be played until after I was dead, no one would ever know who I was, would I still preach it with the same passion? Well, no, I wouldn't, because there is this human element there that wants feedback, that wants some type of recognition. And then so then you begin to use these things as for personal agendas. And then when you get to a position and you're in a position of authority, or you are self-proclaiming as a prophet authority from God, you can definitely use these things to increase that agenda and maybe not even be aware that you're doing it. Either to increase the giving of the money you're getting or to increase, you know, your prestige among others. And it's a sad thing, because a lot of people have really been hurt by it, you know?
They have. And I imagine with the amount of people, and I forget the numbers, I'll have to look it up, that have left churches, it's in the millions, you know, over the last several years. Part of that is because of spiritual, you know, manipulation. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just have stories. I mean, the more we're talking about this, the more stories just come into mind. And how do you unravel that? Because if you're a new Christian or a young Christian, and you're told these things, yet you're like, okay, this really doesn't feel well. You distance yourself then from the body of believers. What are you supposed to do? You kind of live in this tension of, well, maybe were they right? Or were they, you know, what's going on? I don't feel like it was right. And then they say, that's another spiritual manipulative technique I wanted to talk about, feeling, because I used to say that. So you get a young, inarticulate teenager or 20-year-old, and so somebody's bombarded me with the idea, and this happened, that we're supposed to be completely holy, right? Because God is holy, and we are, but I think they were talking about being perfect. Be perfect as I am perfect, which is something they insisted that could be done on a daily basis for long periods of time. And so the only real defense I had, because they were using the scripture, was, man, I really don't feel like that's right. Well, you can't go by your feelings. Well, I wasn't really saying I don't feel it. It's not like an emotional thing. What I was saying was my systematic theology, and of course I couldn't articulate any of this, at that point leads me to believe that you're wrong. I know you're pointing out one scripture, but the only way I know how to express that is I'm not feeling the same way about this that you do. But of course, at 18, at least most normal 18-year-olds wouldn't say, well, I understand your view, but my systematic theology, because of different verses, tell me something, give me a different result. So how are you supposed to fend yourself off from, how are you supposed to fight this?
Well, in my experience and when we first became Christians, because my whole story, I was born and raised Roman Catholic, and I became an atheist for a long period of time. Then I became a Christian. And when I first started, you know, visiting Christian churches, Protestant churches, I thought everybody in the church was a born-again Christian, had this experience that I had this relationship with God. But I did indeed have a relationship directly with God, and nobody could tell me I didn't. And it wasn't just that I was convincing myself I did. I knew I did. I knew that I was a follower of Jesus first and only, and then other people could come into my life and bless that or encourage that. But it really helped me out as I grew, because I'll give you one example. Later on, this is after we were Christians for a while, I was actually preaching in a church as one of the rotation of preachers. And I used to watch a lot of Christian shows on TV. And my son played softball, and I was coaching him at softball on Wednesday nights. And Wednesday nights, obviously, is a church night for most Protestant churches. And so I was told, well, you really shouldn't coach your son on Wednesday nights, because it's important to be at church. And, you know, I kind of was struggling with this. And so I was watching TV one night, and they had some preacher on one of these channels who was yelling and screaming about how wicked everybody is. And he said, and I know some people who will actually go to their children's baseball games or coach their children's baseball games instead of being at church. And I got to ask you one question. What do you love more, baseball or God? And it, I was listening at, wow, man, do I love softball more than God? So I went to my default, which is God. I went to Jesus. I went directly to him and I began to pray and I poured out my soul to him and I began to ask him, God, am I deceived? Do I really love softball more than I love you? Is that why I want to coach my son? And in my spirit and in my mind, God spoke so clearly and so directly to me that he said, it's not a matter of you loving softball more than you loving me. It's a matter of you loving your son more than you loving what people think about you. And when he gave me that, it was like, oh, anybody can say whatever they want at this point forward. I'm coaching my son softball. I'm not going to church on Wednesday nights. Simple as that. And I was able to share that with other people, and I was able to go directly against all of these spiritual manipulations of you need to be in church every time the doors open. If you love God, you'll be here. You won't be out there. And I was able to do that because I went directly to God. And I think what we're losing today is in teaching people to do that, to go directly to God, to go have a straight line between them and the Lord through Jesus. And these other people can be helpful. And they can be discerning, and God can use them as a confirmation of something he's trying to tell you. But whenever, like you said, I don't feel that's right, that may not be coming just from your mind or your emotions. That may be coming from the Spirit of God himself telling you something's not right about this. And I think we need to encourage that more in other people, and that would... I really think the Jim Jones massacre, back when everybody was told to drink poison, if they were instructed by someone to listen to that Spirit of God in them, to have that relationship, I think there'd be a few people that would say, this ain't right. Something's wrong with this. And I think that you wouldn't have this tremendous amount of power and manipulation and control in the hands of a few, you know? So, I mean, that's just my throw out there.
No, I agree. 1,000%. I guess part of the ways that I had been manipulated were, though, people saying, hey, I got this direct line to God, and they were hearing from God. And so if I told you as a young Christian, hey, Bob, man, I really feel like you need to start bringing me to, Dot's Diner every morning and buying me a cup of coffee. I really just feel that in my spirit. I know that's a silly thing.
But people, believe me, people have said a lot. I've heard things similar to that.
So how do you, if I'm saying I have a direct line with God and I'm trying to manipulate you, yet you're saying, no, I prayed and God told me something different. It seems like that might be at least somewhat the basis for manipulation, is that everybody claiming they have a direct line from God.
Well, that's the thing, though. That's the whole thing. Everybody does and can have a direct line to God. However, if you know, you really are working and acting as a body, God's not going to be contradicting himself. God's not going to be telling this one person something to tell you and not confirming it in your spirit. I honestly believe if you don't have confirmation within yourself that person is telling you what God is trying to tell you, then rule it out. Don't worry about it. I had a lady tell me and my wife one time when we said, she told us something about our son, praying for him is what it was, but using some type of oil that was coming off of a picture of Jesus out of his eyes. So it must have been some kind of magic oil, you know, or holy oil, that if you rub this on your son, you can pray for him and he'll be healed. And I said, well, I'm not going to do that. I just don't feel right about that. I feel that's superstitious. And he said, no, you don't have to think or feel about that. God told me this. God specifically told me this. You do this and your son will be healed. And I said, no, because then the oil is going to get the credit. I don't want the oil to get the credit. I want God to get the credit. And I believe he's going to be healed, which, by the way, he was. And I believe he's going to be healed because God's going to do it. And you're saying it's God, and I'm not sure. And so I went with my unsure, and she thought I was just my wife and I were just the biggest pagans and horrible people in the world. But you've got to get, that's the thing, you can't care about what other people are thinking about your spirituality if you don't want to be manipulated.
But as a insecure Christian, though, so like what I would have said to you, brother, was, brother, you're leaning onto your own understanding. I'm telling you that God is telling me this. You're leaning to your own understanding, and this is what you're doing.
Right.
And, you know, we're over 40, both of us. We've been through, you know, a lot separately in church. We have a lot of battle scars, but we came out of it. There's a lot of people who just get to a certain point because they're young Christians, whatever, and they're just like, all right, I'm blowing this dump because none of this makes any sense.
Right.
So it takes a while to figure this out, right?
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. If you're a new Christian, especially young, and the people you respect are all telling you to respect these other people who are manipulators, and that, you know, your whole society around you, your whole peer group is involved with being manipulated by these individuals or this philosophy or this. Yeah, that's a tough one. And I agree with you. And I think that's how cults are born. I think that's how they go. It's rough. And so I'm going to have to back away from this right now and ask you, how did you come out from it? How were you able to come out from these, probably for a period of time, it sounds like you were really under a heavy burden, thinking, my gosh, something's wrong with me. If I'm not hearing God the way these people are hearing it, and I don't feel right about this. So how did you come out? Did you just rebel and throw it all out, baby and bathwater and everything? Or did you work your way through it?
Yeah, but it took a really long time, and I'll quote Bono or paraphrase Bono. You know, he says if church is where the hurt is, then the door is where hope is, or hope is where the door is, something like that. Mm-hmm. That made sense to me. I didn't go to church for many years, but I started taking seminary classes while I wasn't going to church from various different denominations, and. I always liken it to feral cats. Like, Christians that have gotten screwed over are like feral cats, right? So if you and I walk in somewhere, excuse me, and we start talking about God, people are going to be shying away. They're, you know, whatever. Oh, well, you know, come and talk. You know, it's hard to do because people have been so hurt. For me, it just took a really long time to rethink everything. And I still hear scriptures, and I think about them in a way that I was taught incorrectly versus how I now think they should be interpreted. So it takes a long time, but, you know, I made it through. But I know a lot of people that I grew up with in church as teenagers and in their early 20s who haven't. And you ask them, well, are you a Christian? No, I'm not. Well, you know, you get talking to them. What do you pray? Yeah, I do. Who do you pray? Oh, I pray to God. You know, I pray to Jesus. Whatever. Well, why don't you think you're a Christian? Because how I was taught Christianity was defined, I don't believe anymore. But they do still have this relationship with God. So thankfully, it's God that draws us, right? It's God that calls us. We won't get into that debate, and you don't have to agree if you don't want to. But there is something there that the Holy Spirit does a work and keeps working inside of people, even though they're rejecting everything that they were taught, which was true. And so that's how I came out of it. But I think the problem I had was in a charismatic church where the gifts are freely wielded. I'll use that term. There's all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, I remember I was going to, you know the band Petra, of course.
Yeah.
In fact, Bob's the one who introduced me to Rob, who I interviewed, Rob Frazier, on the podcast a few months ago. He wasn't the singer at this point, but I was on my way to a Petra concert, and I was running out the door, and my girlfriend at the time calls me. She was in New York at I'm not going to get into that, but she was at a quote unquote Christian organization for young people. And, I answered the phone, and she's like, hey, God told me through someone else, of course, that I was supposed to marry this other guy almost twice her age. Okay. No, there was no affection there. There was no
love. So somebody told her that God told them that?
Somebody, yeah. So it was, somebody told them that. And then at the same time, someone told someone else in the church I was going to that, which was involved, this person was involved in that same youth organization. They're very mission-oriented. I don't want to give away the name, but I was supposed to marry her, and she was almost twice my age. So around the same time period, there was an older woman telling me that God was telling her that she was supposed to marry me, while someone was telling my girlfriend that she was supposed to marry someone else. And I'm trying to keep this podcast PG, but I'll hold my tongue. But as an 18, 19 year old, that's hard to deal with. Let me just leave it at that.
I guarantee
you. And I'll go take some more blood pressure medication because I'm getting kind of irritated thinking about it. And that was 20 plus years ago. But as an 18 year old in a church where the Spirit moves, quote unquote, people use those sorts of things to manipulate people. And I was dealing with that from both ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's and the thing is that what made you was there ever any thought in your mind that maybe God does want you to marry that woman?
No.
Okay.
Not at
all. Right. And why did you feel that? Was it like a what we call in the charismatic world a check in your spirit?
Again, at 18 years old, how do you articulate those sorts of things? Because right. You have an older, mature person, and then you have various groups of people around that person and around my girlfriend at the time's manipulative circle telling us both things. So two young people getting manipulated by older people, it doesn't mm-hmm. really matter what you feel because these are the elders in Christ that are telling you these things. So again, you can't judge your feelings, brother. Look at Hosea. Yeah, look who he had to marry. You can't judge your feelings. You can't test your feelings. You know, the heart is wicked above all things. Nobody can know its motivations. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like I said, I'm getting aggravated just thinking about it now.
well, let me ask you, I look back at my life and I'm wondering, was I involved in spiritual manipulation? Did I manipulate others unintentionally? And that might help me understand not only the people that do the manipulation, but also the people that are manipulated. And I think, yeah, I did. I think I did, but not necessarily in those ways. Not you should marry this one or you should do that. But in ways of, going, taking my theology, my whole belief system, and declaring it, this is what you do. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. Mardi Gras. I never did like Mardi Gras. Born and raised in New Orleans, never did like it. I was anti Mardi Gras, thinking it was of the devil. I used to tell people that how can you possibly be a Christian and celebrate Mardi Gras? And over the years, I still feel in its essence, it's not really great as far as in its essence of what it is. You know, it's a holiday that celebrates the flesh. That's what it is. You know, Fat Tuesday, a celebration of the flesh. But it is not to what I was trying to manipulate other people to believe, that, you know, you are holier if you go out with a megaphone and a cross and tell everybody that's celebrating Mardi Gras that they're going to hell, than you would be if you actually went out and celebrated Mardi Gras. And so I was making people feel like they were less Christians because maybe they had a desire to do something that I wasn't crazy about. I was always into sports. I've had people come up to me and tell me that, oh, football is an idol. Oh, look, this is just the modern Roman, games that they have. This is the same stuff the Romans used to do in watching people, you know, get hurt on a field, you know, except they used to use animals and you know, gladiators. But you're watching this, and that's ungodly. And I'd blow that off because I like football. So I'd find scriptures, you know, that would defend, you know, about athleticism and stuff. And so, you know, it's like, I don't know why we have this tendency to want to manipulate people into, I guess it's wanting to make ourselves feel more important, make ourselves feel higher. Now, in the case of telling someone to marry someone else, I think that's just not being able to discern. These people are not able to discern their own passions, their own desires from God's voice. And so if they want something bad enough, oh, it must be God telling me to do it. So it's the only thing I can figure, you know, as far as that goes. So anyway, go ahead.
No, I thought it's always funny with football because the same I hear preachers saying, oh, and don't ever get that, you know, Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue coming to your house. But they'll watch the football game with the cheerleaders, like, and not say a word about that. Like, well, what's the difference? Well, I like football, so I'll put up with the cheerleader. You know, I won't mention that because I always thought that was a bit odd. But I'll digress there.
Yeah, you know, and it's just, and this is an example too of people wanting to have their way as far as the legalism of the holiness of what they are, and then, you know, not getting that. I remember a guy who used to own a Christian bookstore told me that the Pentecostal girls, that when they would come into the church, and what I'm saying is really United Pentecostal girls that had to have their arms covered and had to have the dresses down to the ankles, and had to have their necks covered and, you know, no makeup, that the young men in the store would get all bothered by it, you know, and it because the girls would come in, even though they were technically, according to the laws of their church, they would come in with, like, look like they were poured into their dresses, you know,
because
nothing said anything about being too tight.
Right.
And then, you know, there's another lady in a United Pentecostal church who didn't believe in wearing jewelry, because it was evil, it was godless, but she sold jewelry at a flea market. And when she was asked about it, it was like, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about selling jewelry. It's just about wearing it. So you've got these double standards all over the place. And I think that that's what starts us along the road of, I'm superior to you, I'm better than you, I can make excuses for everything that I do sinful, but your sin is magnified, and that makes me holier than you, and that gives me the right to manipulate you, that gives me the right to tell you what God is telling me about you. So I think that that's where it begins. It's all human pride, and they think that they're hearing from God. They really do. I think some of these people do.
Well, we're running out of time, and I'm sure we can do some more shows on this. And I love having you on the show. Things go by really quick, and I enjoy the conversation. But I think the parting words I would like to leave people with, if they've gotten as aggravated as I've gotten talking about it, not because of you, Bob, but just because of the subject matter, that just a few maybe little phrases to use, and one of them I kind of already mentioned. Don't use the word, I don't feel that you're correct if someone is trying to spiritually manipulate you. Say something similar to, and maybe there's an easier way to say this, but my systematic theology differs from yours, or maybe in a more practical way is, I've been a Christian for X amount of years. I've read, you know, hopefully most of the Bible a few times, or at least I have a big picture understanding of how the Bible works. And my big picture understanding of how the Bible works, even though you're throwing specific verses at me, is inconsistent with what you're telling me that God is telling you to tell me. Did that make sense, mm-hmm. or is that too Dr. Seuss?
I definitely believe that. Go ahead.
So anyway, that's wish, if I could teleport myself back to when I was 17 or 18, if I'd have just had that little bit of ammo, I would have been, you know, slicing and dicing. So how about you? Give us a shield, or a sword if you want to fight back.
Yeah. Well, I would really fight back. I think that, you know, you have, and anybody who's listening to this who feels like you're under spiritual manipulation, you have a direct line to God. You do. And if the other people think they do, they may, and they maybe have more scripture, they may have more others. But if they come against you with some word or something that you just don't feel right about, I agree. Don't say, "Oh, I just don't feel right about that," because then they'll use that, "Oh, you can't go by your feelings." Just tell them, "God is speaking to me about that, and he told me to watch out for people like you."
That's there you go. There you
That's
go.
all you got to do. Say, "God is really speaking to me about that subject, and he told me to watch out for people like you that try to
Excellent.
talk for him. He's going to talk to me himself." And so I don't think that anybody can really say anything about that, you know, when you tell them straight out. And we need to get back to drawing people, directing people to following Jesus, not to following man, you know. And I think that's an important part of our discipleship of others. So
Absolutely. Well, Bob, thanks again. And you've given out your contact info before, if you don't mind, if you want to maybe
Oh
give out an
yeah.
email
Well, I
address or a
mean,
phone
I
number. Or...
got a couple. I just started a new blog.
Oh,
It's
great.
called Theology. What is it called? Theologize or something like that. I better
All
look it
right.
up and find out what it is. But theologize.wordpress.com. And also you can just you can give me a call if you want. My phone number is 504-606-7973. I don't mind anybody calling me. If I can't take your call right then, I'll call you back later and we can discuss whatever you want to discuss. So that's me.
Excellent. Well, send me a link because I'm looking up theologize.wordpress.com and I'm not getting anything. So send me a link and I'll
Okay.
put it in the show notes. And
All right, good.
yeah, it's been great. And we're going to wrap this up with a song I recorded like 13 years ago called "Adding to the Bible" because I thought it would be
Good,
a
good exit.
good way
Good.
to end it, about dancing and playing cards and all that kind of stuff. And that's free, along with pretty much everything I've ever recorded at mikeandess.bandcamp.com. And if people want to get in touch with me, they can leave some comments on the down the line website or send me an email, mikeindest@gmail.com. And I'm not brave enough to give out my phone number. So I'll let them call you and you can send me the message. How
Let them
about
call me. It's the
that?
worst they can do is talk to me.
Excellent. Well, thank you
Hey.
so much.
All righty, man. Thank you, Mike. Bye-bye.
Women shouldn't wear pants. Don't play cards. Don't you dare play those rock and roll guitars. Paul wouldn't have it if he were alive today. But we are all so godly that we know just what he'd say. We're adding to the Bible all the things it should include. We're writing a new book for our time. We'll stick it after Jude. Don't go to the moving picture show.
To the moving picture show.
Don't
swim
when the opposite sex is in the pool. We are all so godly that we know just what he'd say.